Well, a very good evening out there too, and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on another Monday evening on Radio Kerry live in Tralee. And it's the last one for November, and there's still plenty of action both on and off the field. And tonight's show, I suppose, in many ways represents all of that. A lot of football talk and a lot of stuff going on off the field as well. We're going to discuss in a few minutes. We will check in with Kerry's latest Munster club champions, and I suppose in many ways they're one of the most low key ones as well, as they captured their seventh Munster club title of recent times. And that, of course, is Clonmaris, and we'll chat to them fairly shortly. And from a team with seven championships to a man who won his 14th district championship, that's, of course, the St. Mary's. They're the Kings of South Kerry once again. Of course, that's Brian Sheen. We'll chat to him around 7:30 this evening, and we'll catch up with some of the other victorious members of the St. Mary's club around just 6:25 there as well, so stay tuned for that. And what about action in East Kerry? There's certainly plenty heavy hitters in that district, and Michael Healy, he's going to join us around 6:45 to see which teams are still in contention for the Donoghue Cup. And after 7, I suppose we're going to change pace somewhat this evening. We're going to chat adventure racing, and especially to some of those who represented the kingdom as well as themselves on the international scene, so stay tuned for that. And then around 7:20-ish, it's lights, cameras and action, as we catch up with two East Kerry clubs who are joining forces in a novel fundraising event to secure funds for their club's future. So we have all that and maybe a little bit more in between as well. So if you want to be part of tonight's show, drop us a line, comment the whole lot. Contact Ivan 0667123666, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. And Keane, of course, is on the sound this evening. Now, regular listeners to the show, we'll know how good a team our Clonmaris Camogie side, and on Saturday at the Na Piercy Grounds in Limerick, they were crowned the Munster Camogie Intermediate Champions following an extra time win over Tipperary champions Shannon Rovers. And I suppose the win came a week after another kind of, I suppose, a huge win as well. They beat the Cork champions Blackrock, and now they're getting ready for an assault on an All-Ireland title. But they haven't been here for the first time. They've been here quite a few times, and it's great to get a chance maybe to catch up with their management and some of their players, just to look back on that and maybe look ahead. First of all, John Madden is the manager. John, congratulations. I suppose, seeing that you've won seven Munsters in the last number of years, celebrating is probably something that you just put on the back burner now, and you look straight ahead to the next round.
Yeah, I suppose, Donald, thanks for having us on, number one. Yeah, I suppose, look, the girls, I only got involved this year myself, but the girls, they've been there so many times now at this stage, it's kind of part of the course. But look, either way, the last two games, I wouldn't say were, you know, easy in any terms. We'll say Blackrock, we played Mabellyhaig on a tough, windy day, and like they got a goal, and it looked like curtains for us, but no, in fairness, the girls, they do get out, kind of similar the last day then against Shannon Rovers above Na Piercy. They got a goal and we looked like we were dead and buried, and I'm sure a few people have seen it on Twitter and stuff through club, or Patrice's iconic score towards the end, like, difficult score. She was kind of out by the sideline, crowd encroaching on top of her as well. We'll say there was no stand or anything like that, so to put that over. And then look, they're just, as I said, an exceptional team. The girls drove on from there, like, it's easy management, in fairness. They're there so many times, they know what's involved to win it.
Yeah. When you step into a team environment like that, John, you know the history, you know the players, particularly, I suppose, the calibre of the players and the experience of the players. Is that a more difficult approach to kind of set in and start your own campaign with them? Or is it something that, because there's so many experienced players, it's actually kind of maybe even a pleasure to deal with them and a pleasure to work with players of that calibre?
Yeah, I take it probably the second, because to be honest, like I said, they've been there so many times, and they play with Kerry, a lot of the girls as well. It's easy managing, they know what's involved, and like, it's a small bunch. We've 18 players, 17 togged out the last day and one injured, so you don't have a big group. And look, they know what's involved, like, any night they're training, there's like, you've 13, 14, 15 of them there most nights, unless there's someone working or things like that. So like I said, it's easy managing because they know what's involved, they know what's needed to grind out these wins and to get the wins. So it wasn't that over phasing, we'll say, going in with the girls. And I'd have known a lot of them down through the years anyway as well, like, from going to their games and watching them and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of them, of course, Michelle Costello, joins us as well. Michelle, congratulations again and again. The medals must be really mounting up on the kitchen sink now at this stage. What was it like to win last Saturday's one?
Thanks very much, Donald, for having us on. Yeah, it was an absolute super win for us. I suppose we had Blackrock of Ballyhaig, and that was a huge game. Blackrock of Cork in Ballyhaig, that was a huge game for us, and that was a super win. And then I was just to tug out 7 days later into the Munster final, and to win it in the extra time, we were extremely, I suppose, happy to come out the right side of it, but over the moon to get the win. Just, and also I suppose to put the back-to-back titles, this is their second year now playing at intermediate level, so the teams, the club teams, are getting a lot stronger. So I suppose to be able to do that, Donal, it was a huge, huge achievement for us. And you know, I suppose we're all extremely proud of one another, and on behalf of myself and Niamh, it's absolutely fantastic that we get the opportunity, I suppose, to captain these girls and to raise the cup the last day. I'm delighted. It's a super achievement for us.
Mm-hmm. Was it yourself or Niamh wrote the speech?
Oh, I'd say the two of us hadn't even thought about it, Donal. And when we were getting called, it was like, who's going to talk? So we said we'd split it. But yeah, look, I suppose we said we'd start it off and we'd thank everyone that we had to thank. And like I said, I suppose the clubs all around us, Donal, for giving us pitches this time of year, we're very grateful to them as well. We don't have our own set club, you know, so to Ballyhigh, St Finan's and Abidorny, we're very grateful for them to let us train in their pitches. But yeah, we'll have to work on our speech, I suppose. We came across all right in the end.
Niamh, Lean, help you. Niamh, I was going to say, you know, this is new to all of you, but it isn't new to all of you in that sense. I mean, how many of the junior titles were you involved in? Were you involved in all five of them?
Hi Donald, how are you? I was, yeah. We actually have seven, so we had two before the five in a row as well. So we have seven junior titles since 2014, I think. We only missed one in 2016, and then the two intermediates.
Yeah. It's funny because when we talk about GAA in the county, Niamh, we obviously talk about the football first and maybe the hurling second, and then we talk about the Munster titles and the whole lot. And it kind of goes under the radar how strong Clonmaris are as a team, because even throwing the ladies football, they can't seem to get over that Munster line that often or with that regularity. What is it with this team and with this group of players and this generation of players in particular, Niamh, that has that ability to eke out those results and go to parts of Clare and Tipperary and even sometimes in North Kerry and win games there as well against, I suppose, at the start, junior teams, but these are intermediate club teams. I mean, you play the Tipperary club champions, you play the Cork club champions. What is in that dressing room at this stage that has that ability to get those results?
I suppose over the years, while we've had unbelievable success, we also have had a lot of heartbreak, and I think every year we kind of just want to come back stronger and get one step further. You know, in those seven Munster titles for junior, we only won one All-Ireland, and I think that is really hard as well then, because you're kind of going back and you're going over it again and again, and you know, we lost so many All-Ireland finals that the hurt stays with you. And I suppose last year especially, losing out so narrowly in the All-Ireland semi-final after extra time, it's just heartbreaking. And I suppose that's kind of the driving factor. And while we want to do it for ourselves, obviously you want to do it for the girls around you, you want to do it for the travelling support that we always have. We're so grateful to all our friends and family that always just get behind us. And yeah, I suppose that's just the driver, a very competitive bunch. And yeah, it's just evident, I suppose, over the years that how competitive we are. And like Jan was saying there, you know, some people might have said that we were dead and buried both last Saturday and the Saturday just gone. But I suppose we just have that kind of never say die attitude. And it's great, that we can actually start winning out games in a narrow situation.
Yeah, you, at no stage do you seem to panic, no matter what the score is and what time is on the clock. John, when you have a team that have this amount of experience at this stage, and you've kind of touched on about the heartbreak, and I suppose maybe that might be the driving factor, there is that big title at the end of it. Obviously, your next outing is the All-Ireland semi-final. How will you approach that?
Okay, so it's a tight window, because we're out now again next Sunday up in the Rag, up in the Tipperary Camogie grounds against Shamrocks of Galway. Again, another strong hurling county, when you're playing Galway. And we've seen a bit of Shamrocks, they seem to have won the Connacht title pretty well. They beat Athleague from Roscommon. So look, we just put the heads down, you know, go about our training, kind of do a bit of homework now and then as well, I suppose, in the week coming, and you know, kind of get ourselves right and just make sure the bodies are right, because Saturday's game was a tough bruising encounter, in fairness. And I can tell you that a lot of the girls are sore and stiff after it, because Shannon Rovers gave them a right good test of it, in fairness to them. Mm-hmm. So look, like I said, we only kind of drive on.
Yeah, it's funny because there's probably two trains of thought. When you have a tough win, it either sends you or it's going to drain you. I'm not going to ask you pick A or B on that situation. But the fact that these games are coming competitively week after week, that gathers momentum, surely.
Yeah, look, it does. It does. Like I said, the Blackrock game was a big game for us. Like, we'd seen them play Watergrass Hill below and Cork, and like, they were a serious outfit, and we knew we were going to get a serious battle from Blackrock, which we did, and we were happy to come out on the right side of it. And then it gave us that bit of drive on then for last week. And look, like the girls said there, like, they've been there before. They kind of they dig deep. They kind of, as a group, they sort themselves as such, and they can dig deep. Like, so look, it does, it stands you, these games. I know they're kind of sapping on the body, but they do give you that bit of momentum and that bit of mental resilience to drive on, you know. Mm-hmm. And look, that's the one other thing I'd say. Look, just while I have the time to speak, it'd be great to see a big Kerry sport up there next Sunday for the girls, because in fairness, they have a good support from their families and friends, but it'd be great to see, you know. Mm-hmm. Get the great news that they deserve above the rag next Sunday, like, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, hopefully people will get into the car and travel away up. I mean, it's funny when you see a lot of support. I mean, if you saw an extra 50 or 60 or 100 people in that gate, that alone would be a huge amount of extra people, John, would it?
It would, yeah. It ought to be massive. Like, 50 or 100 people would be a huge thing. And like I said, it just gives the recognition to the girls, like, and all the time and effort that they put in. Like, and like, there's two others involved with me as well. There's Eddie Murphy there coaching. He's been coaching for years, like, in the time, and Pete Young as well, Mr. Kerry Camogie, like, the two of them, like, they put in hours upon hours upon hours, and it's just nice, you know, when you see a crowd there, you know, to back the girls. It just really lifts the whole thing that bit extra, you know. It gives another bit of a boost.
Yeah. Michelle, it's gas, it's another step on the journey. It seems to be that you win one game and the next game seems to be the next most important game that you're playing in that window. You beat the Cork champions, beat the Tipperary champions. Just on the fact that the Kerry champions are playing the Galway champions, and as John mentioned there, I mean, Galway's another home of Camogie and very strong at times as well. Does that increase your own profile, that people are now saying, oh, well, we're in the reverse, Galway are saying, well, we have to play the Kerry champions, and while they're quite good now because they beat the Tip champions and they beat the Cork champions. In your circle of friends that are in that Camogie world, is there a new kind of found respect for the likes of Clonmorris? Maybe it was there already. Are more people kind of looking through the score sheets and saying, ah, Clonmorris, Kerry, yeah, decent team?
Well, I suppose, look, Camogie is, again, relatively new in Kerry overall, and Clonmorris has been the adult team there for a long time. Clare and Causeway now are on the scene at adult level, which is absolutely fantastic to see. And Clare, they were also representing the Munster Juniors the same weekend we were out against Blackrock and Ballyhaig. So our profile is raising over that, and I suppose because of that we are becoming known in different counties. So yeah, I suppose when you are playing, you've taken up from junior to intermediate, I suppose you are playing a lot of the club players that would be on county teams. So I suppose that is raising our profile as well. And I suppose those harder games, they will stand to everyone who, I suppose, is playing Camogie in the long run for Kerry. But I suppose, yeah, it's great. I suppose that our profile is getting out there, and that people are like, okay, Kerry are a strong, we've strong clubs and we're a strong county. So I suppose with these matches and every step that we go on, I suppose our name is getting out there a bit. And again, I suppose we're representing our club, Clonmorris, and we're representing our county. So when county starts up again in the following year for 2024, you know, names will be out there and people will be like, oh, okay, they represented Clonmorris or they represented Clare. Oh yeah, they're very, very strong. So it is a great thing. And I suppose it's beneficial to all the girls, I suppose, looking up to us, Donal, playing at underage, that we keep going and we drive on week after week, because we want as many girls to play in Camogie in the long run, and that eventually we will get support outside of our own family and friends. You know, like John was saying, that extra 50-100 people could make a huge difference at a game in the long run. So yeah, so it's great to play in all these other strong club holes and counties in the long run for Kerry Camogie, I suppose, Donal.
Niamh, one of the things that we always kind of chat about Clonmorris, it's not that you have them falling around the garden, jumping over fences to play with you, 17 out of 18 possible players the last day. Does that give itself a kind of bend of, I was going to say brothers obviously, but maybe sisters in this instance, that because you know there's so few people turning up in that sense, that the commitment is greater and it's maybe at times easier to play for all those players?
Yeah, I suppose we are a very tight-knit group. We always have been. Like, most of us grew up playing together from very early age, at club level and county and in schools and stuff. So yeah, we are just a very, I suppose, united bunch, and there's a great community around us. And, like, you know, I suppose, yeah, you're not exactly going to, you know, miss training because you'll be spotted. Like, you can't just blend in, you know, or get lost in the crowd, like, because there is no crowd. So I suppose everyone just has to kind of commit and make the effort. And, you know, you are called out if you're not doing that. But thankfully, we don't really have that much of an issue. Like, you know, we are a very dedicated group. And, you know, I suppose the reason we have had such success is because of that dedication and commitment to the club.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy it, Niamh?
I love it. Wouldn't be doing anything else.
But sure, isn't that what it's all about? John Madden, listen, the very best of luck the next day, Michelle and Niamh as well. Look, you're fantastic ambassadors for the sport. I think it's fitting that we open the show this evening with the Munster Intermediate Camogie champions, who are again Clonmara's, as I said, back to back, and you've five juniors as well. And hopefully, and hopefully, and hopefully, we'll get the result that you need in Galway, and you'll get the extra few people that get in a couple of cars and head away up the road to witnesses, and I suppose maybe to shout a little bit of help every now and again. Because I suppose in these games you need a little bit of help on the sideline and a little bit of support at times for maybe the odd sideline ball that might go your way or might go against you, John. But listen, the very best of luck. You're fantastic ambassadors for the sport, and hopefully we'll have an All-Ireland Cup back here, and you might even bring that into us some evening as well, in the not too distant future. That is Clonmara's Camogie. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now it is well and truly the season for the District Championship football. Dingle, of course, were crowned winners last week back in West Kerry, and of course the North Kerry gang are getting ready for their final in the next week. I think it's next week actually. And the East Kerry gang are progressing. They're fairly progressing with some big games yesterday. But the big game of the weekend no doubt took place down in Wardville, as champions Drummond Pearses took on St Mary's, with the town, I suppose, coming away once again with the Jack Murphy Cup. And on to chat about that, and indeed maybe the magic of the district final, are the winning manager Noel Cornan and the winning chairperson Sheila Quigley. Well, Sheila, I had you on, I'd say, one of my very, very first nights. I don't know if there's too many guests get on a couple of nights in a row, but you're back again. Sheila, winning in the South Kerry is probably nothing strange to you in that sense, but how exciting is it every time you do win it?
Oh, it's a massive thing. I think the South Kerry final is the All-Ireland for everybody down south. It was a huge day yesterday. We had a massive game with Drummond on Saturday. Sorry. It's, we've met each other, I think, 6 in the last 7 finals, and there's never been more than a point or two between us, because tough games, great excitement, great build-up. Thankfully, it went right for us this time.
It goes right for you a lot of the time, babe, to be fair, Sheila. Come here, it's an unusual enough rivalry, yourselves and Drummond. I mean, Drummond have really kind of pulled themselves up to the top tier, and of course they've nicked a few on you as well. Heading into the game, how nervous were the Marys?
I think they were very nervous, I presume, because nobody can take Drummond with a pinch of salt. In the last few years they have come on leaps and bounds. They were strong, they're very physical, they know the Marys, they know each other well. So I think it was, both teams were probably nervous going into it because they both know each other too well. But I think all went well, and thankfully it all went off fine in the end. Everybody was fine. And
absolutely.
For us, I suppose, thankfully, the result was good.
It's all about the result. My next guest, Noel Cornan, he was definitely smiling at the end of it, and he don't smile too often, but a couple of big smiles. Noel, how important was it for the Marys to win this one?
Well, it was very important, Donal, to be fair. We judge ourselves down in South Kerry, not just in the Marys, and how we do in the South Kerry Championship. And the Marys, with the last 20 odd years. I've been expecting to be there or thereabouts every year, and thankfully this year we were there again and we managed to get over the line.
And of course it is about getting over the line, and of course a quality side in Drumwood as well. It was a difficult enough game in that sense, Noel. I mean, the scores weren't flying in the first half, but every score is very important in a tight match like this.
Oh, every score is vital. You know, it's okay, championships this time of the year, every club down here, all the boys, the young lads go to school together, they all know each other, they're playing against each other maybe two or three times a year, so everybody knows everybody else. So I don't know when the last time there was a big score put up in a South Kerry final. It doesn't happen very often. Because even the team that could be ranked top down in South Kerry against the team that are ranked 8th, there can still be a mighty close game, and we've seen that down through the years.
And of course you progressed through the championship beating your neighbours Renard, who were the junior champions, and a much improved Sneem Derrynane in the semi-final.
Yes, Sneem Derrynane are a team now that have a lot of young players coming through, and you know, it's great to see Sneem Derrynane coming back up the ranks again. The same as Valencia, let's be fair about it. I mean, Valencia couldn't field there for a couple of years, now they're back again, and you know, it's great to see them, because Valencia are a club that have great tradition. And it's great to see them back playing again.
And of course, look, we often talk about how difficult it is here on Terrace Talk about, I suppose, the smaller clubs trying to get numbers and field teams and get players out and sustain us. How difficult is that for St Mary's at the moment?
Well, I suppose we've gone through a transition, really, I suppose. I mean, 10 years ago, we had the start of a team that you know, proved themselves to be a very, very good side. They won 5 in a row in South Kerry. They won All-Ireland Intermediate. Which was obviously the junior, has been won several years before it, but a lot of those players are now gone. You know, we have immigration, we have fellas who retired, the likes of Dan Cosuro Sullivan, Austin Constable, Noddy Driscoll. They've all retired. I mean, so you know, we're looking for the next gang to come in to take their place, and thankfully we have the likes of Alex Coffey and Ben Donohoe, Josh Sullivan. These are all young fellas. Saturday was their first South Kerry final, and you know, we hope that they'll have many more of them.
Absolutely. I was listening to that actually. Of course, I suppose Bri got the headlines with the 14, and we'll chat to Brian around 7:30 or thereafter. But the importance for 3 of them to win their first one, particularly in the company of Brian, and in a club like the Mary's, where I suppose the tradition is winning, really.
Well, yeah, I suppose, look, it is, to be fair, but I mean, you go back to the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, we weren't winning as much as what we'd expect to be winning. So what's happened in the last 20 years, will you take? No, because these things turn very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I recall Valencia in the late 70s and the early 80s being a fantastic team, one of the best in the county, if not the best in the county for a couple of years. And then you see 20 years later, they have problems. Okay, they're back, that's great, but we know as well that if we don't keep producing the players, we're going to start falling down the ranks, and we won't be competing in as many finals as we want to be competing in.
Absolutely. Sheila, obviously, look, your brother has he won 1 or 2 South Kerry medals as well?
4 of them, John.
Has he only 4?
Only 4, they were very hard fought as well back then.
Valencia must have taken an awful lot of them off him. What were your memories, we'll say, as a younger Sheila O'Shea, going down to watch Jacko, and I suppose those days, I mean, people came from miles around to watch it like they do still, probably a lot more people living in South Kerry probably those times as well. What were your memories of South Kerry championships, particularly the ones of the Mary's one?
I think my biggest memories was when they were on in Carstavine. You'd have the Valencia pipe bands coming into New Street, and they'd be warming up back the street, changing into their outfits and getting all ready, and then they went down and both teams walked behind the band before the game. I think it kind of made it the huge day that it was, and then you'd have your game. But I think my biggest thing was when the game was over, both teams went off to the pub together to have a drink together. There was no animosity, there was no nothing, everybody just kind of mixed together, and it was lovely. And I think they stayed there in the pub all night then, having the fun and the crack together, and the game was replayed over and over again. But there was huge days, and as Noel said, Valencia were a very, very strong team back then. There was great rivalry between Carstavine and Valencia back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great fun.
And of course, Noel, I suppose if things were right and people didn't go from Town to Valencia. Maybe you're a midfielder, could have been playing for Valencia, maybe.
Well, I'd like to think that the Clifford side of it has a lot to do with it as well, like. You know, I mean, Johnny Clifford was a fair footballer himself, so I'm sure Eileen will have something to say about that.
I'm sure Eileen has plenty to say about it. Come here, Noel. I mean, the thing about it, managing a club, I mean, it's got its highs, it's got its lows, it's got the days that you think you're great and you go out in the field and you get destroyed, and there's the days that you kind of win a game and you say, how do we get out of jail? Do you enjoy it? That was a tough question.
I think I'll pass on that one, to be honest with you. Yes, you do enjoy it, of course. Look, like you said, there are days that don't go your way and things go wrong and you're annoyed with yourself and you're annoyed with everybody else. But then there are days like last Saturday where, you know, you get the result that you want. Sometimes you get it and you deserve it. Sometimes you get it and you don't deserve it. But look, there's highs and lows in it, but you do it for the love of the club. And it's the same with every manager. Same with Brian Leary for Drummond Pearce's. He put his heart and soul into this. And yes, I'm talking to you on the radio and he's not. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very fine margins, you know, can dictate who's victorious and who's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Noel, I suppose the other side of the coin, I suppose, looking at, I suppose, South Kerry and football and everything, and people will say kind of, we don't have a senior team in South Kerry and we've one intermediate team in the Marys and the rest of them are junior. Is that just because the numbers are there, the numbers are dwindling, and people kind of look at it and say, you know, they'll mind themselves or they'll get on with it? And of course, we had a whole debate about the coupling and the minors, and I suppose the smaller clubs looking for, I suppose, the older minors to be able to play with them, the whole lot. Fielding a team for an awful lot of these teams is still the number one priority, and in many cases, it's probably the number one battle ahead of winning any match.
Oh, yes, guaranteed. There's no question that. I mean, you look at Dinner Shine O'Sullivan coming on for Drummond. You look at Brian playing with St Mary's. You look at Roland Hussey playing for Sneem. These are fellas who've given great service to their clubs and they're still playing. In some cases, maybe because the clubs have no choice. I'm sure the conversation will be had with Brian at some stage in the next week or two about stay on for next year and the year after, and I hope that he'll agree to stay on. But you know, we have no choice, only try to keep as many players playing as we can.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about Brian, we will talk to him later. I mean, what's it like having a Brian Sheehan in that dressing room?
A gift. very simply, it's a gift, because you know, Brian has been through everything with Kerry. You know, he's won All Ireland. He's had days when Kerry didn't win All Ireland, so he's seen both sides of the coin. He comes into our dressing room, like I said, about the young lads there a while ago, Alex and Ben, Josh, Kane, Keane, all these fellas, they look up to Brian because they know he's been there, and when Brian speaks, they know he's speaking from experience. You know, he's a world of experience, and he brings that to the dressing room, and we're delighted to have him inside there.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Sheila, I suppose the history of an awful lot of clubs is based on tradition, and I suppose you go back into the St Mary's and you have all the winners up on the wall and the teams from the 30s and 40s and up to the 60s and the whole lot. How impactful is that within the club, that you kind of want to keep that tradition kind of in front of the players and in front of the members and the whole lot, so that you kind of remember the past but you obviously look to the future too?
Oh, I think so. I think we're very lucky in our club. We've had a lot of fellas have come through the ranks and have done well at inter-county level as well. We've had a lot of fellas who have been unlucky not to get on the inter-county level because they've been just as good. I think it's important for the young fellas coming up because they want to play for the club. They want to win these medals. They want to get their picture up on the wall. So I think that's a help as well. That brings the young fellas along for us. And the likes of Brian on the field now, the boys were out last night and you couldn't tell the young fellas from the old fellas because they were all mixed in together. They were all, you know, they weren't in separate groups. They all get on so well together. There's no age gaps, there's no nothing, which is great. It was lovely to see.
God, we'll have to break the Marys up so for the rest of us doing a South Kerry, Sheila, is it?
Yeah, we'll bring you in, yeah. Maybe you need to get Carcassonne women and start breathing again.
Good stuff. Come here, Sheila, before we finish up, the state of the club itself, I mean, obviously we were talking about immigration and I suppose numbers going down, but it's getting tougher at juvenile level to get teams together, and I see a lot of amalgamations down there as well.
Oh, very much so. I keep saying it and I'll probably repeat myself, but I think for the last 20-25 years, all the young couples that came into South Kerry and around Carcassonne area, they built on the outskirts of the town because they couldn't get houses in the town. So obviously the likes of Renard and Ballyfermore gained with that a bit, you know, because numbers. And it's a huge loss to the town. I think we need to try and work on getting young families back into the town again, to the actual town itself, and build it back up. But at juveniles, I think most places are suffering. I think there's amalgamations everywhere, and I think what we're all saying, down the line you could be looking at maybe a couple of South Kerry teams instead of club teams representing the community, because numbers are dwindling in a lot of places. Really, it's very hard to keep it going.
Noel, is it nice to get a bit of a rest now ahead of, God knows, I suppose the South Kerry League probably starting in February or something like that, but is it nice to get a bit of downtime as well, and even for the players, because it's been a long enough season for them, even at club level. I mean, you're talking about going through the County League all year long. I mean, some of them probably played with South Kerry, and obviously the South Kerry Championship takes on an animal of its own, really, with training and the whole lot and getting things done. It's nice to have a bit of downtime and to be finished fairly early as well, and fair play to the South Kerry board as well, because I mean, sure, there was one year or maybe a couple of years that poor old Brian Sheen was kicking pints on Stevens' Day back down in Port McGee or something like that against Waterville and these teams. Is it nice to get the business done quite early and give the players a bit of time off?
Oh, it's great for the players, because to be fair, like you said, I was involved in those teams playing on St. Stephen's Day, and I remember we went into January, you know, the year we went into it. Basically, we had no break because we won the intermediate final, and we didn't play in the South Kerry League that year, but the County League was starting 3 weeks later. So you have no break. So, you know, it's great for a supporter to have a final, a South Kerry final or North Kerry final on St. Stephen's Day, but it's very, very unfair on the players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this year, you know, like you said, we're finished very early, and fair play to the South Kerry board. Jimmy Musgrave has done a great job with the fixtures. And to be fair, you know, they're going to have maybe 2 months or whatever they're going to have, 6 weeks, before we ask them to come back again. So, you know, I think it's great, to be honest with you. I think from a manager's point of view, I think we'll be probably champing at the bit to go again after a week of downtime. But the players, definitely, they need a break, because the one thing, like we found out on the last 5 or 6 weeks, we got a lot of injuries. And our physio, I must mention her really, Maura Mahoney, she did a great, great job. She was overworked with all the people that she had to see, but she got every one of them onto the field for us, and I'm sure she'll be delighted to have the break as well.
God knows, poor old Joe wouldn't be too delighted with Milton Castlemaine's performance yesterday.
I suppose he wouldn't.
Fair play to Maura, fair play. Listen, guys, thanks very much. It's great to chat up and catch up, and congratulations once again, and commiserations over to Drummond as well. This time last year, believe it or not, we had Drummond on the air, a fantastic club. And it's amazing. It's a funny rivalry that has built up over the years, Drummond and St. Mary's, because it certainly wouldn't have been around coming through the 60s and 70s and early 80s and 90s. But they've certainly built themselves up as a big club and a challenging club. And as I said, there was only a hop of a wall between us. That was Noel Cornan, of course, manager of St. Mary's, and Sheila Quigley, the St. Mary's chairperson, and I think she's got a lesser known brother somewhere as well, hanging around up there somewhere out of the way. Listen, guys, thanks very much. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, just before the break, we were talking to all the gang down there in South Kerry, and congratulations to St. Mary's, South Kerry champions. And of course, they're not the only district doing their business, a lot of them moving on at the moment. East Kerry, of course, are a district that get a lot of, I suppose, headlines, I suppose, obviously through the county championship and the whole lot. But obviously we have to take a quick look at what's happening within their club structure as well. I'm delighted to have Michael Healy joining us online. Good evening, Michael. How are things?
Grand, Donald, thanks for having me.
Not at all, fair play to you. We need at least some honest fellow to come on and tell us what's happening in East Kerry. Come here, your championship is progressing away. You had two big games at the weekend. Kilcommon beating Rathmore, was that a bit of a shock or a surprise?
Yes, possibly to some people, although Kilcommon were at home in the day and they've had some good performances the last couple of years. Were touch and go with Milltown, and the intermediate in Milltown went on to win that after, as we know. So yes, Kilcommon, maybe people would have thought Rathmore would have been stronger getting to the semi-final of the county championship, but on the day Kilcommon got two goals from Keane Foley, and that helped them to the victory despite a great performance from Shane Ryan, who scored 9 points I think on the day.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, Shane Ryan is really scoring. Of course, he's gone in there kind of in the forward line. He's well able to get the freeze as well. Keane Foley got the goals were vital for Kilcommon. They got him at the right times in the game as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They kept them ahead. The goal kept them a couple of points ahead for most of the matches, as you see. And then he got another one near the end that secured the victory for him then.
Absolutely. And of course, 1973, I think, was the last time Kilcommon won the Donegal Cup. So they're holding the push on there. Your neighbours out in Guineguilla, they got away to a mad start all year against Spa. Kind of frightened them for a bit, but I suppose the senior team were just a bit too strong in the end.
Yes, they were. Yeah, the Spa in the second half came back strong. The 2-5 to 5 points it was early in the game, and it looked like maybe there might be a shock on at that time. But Spa then took over a bit. Keane Tobin got a goal. Evan Cronin was prominent, and they were just too strong in the end. Like a more experienced team, another team that's been playing county championship the last couple of years against Guineguilla, who are still intermediate and who've a lot of young players. Like, and they'll improve as they go along as well.
Absolutely. I have to say I had a Legion man helping me fix my boiler there during the week, and we were listening to the game, and Guineguilla got away to an awful start. We thought there might have been a bit of a shock on it, but by the end of it, I suppose, as you said, the more senior team came through. Of course, they're progressing. There was a couple of games before that, the quarterfinals, obviously. Dr. Crokes, nobody can ever write him off.
They're always there.
Getting close to the bone, but I kind of thought Glenn Flesk would have a good rattle off him. They did for a long part, but
and leading early at half time again, like, but then the second half, the strength of the Crokes panel, I think Tony Bruston got 4 points in the second half for bringing someone like that on. It's a big difference, makes a big difference in a game like that, and they finished strong, like they pulled away in the end.
They were strong, and of course on the other quarterfinal, in the other one, Legion pushed themselves past Listroy. The quarterfinals, let's have a look at the quarterfinals and some novel pairings. Let's start with that one, Legion and Fossa.
Legion Fossa, yes, obviously. Legion have the home advantage there. Fossa have had a week to regroup after their titanic intermediate final against Milltown, so I'd be interested to see how they go, how they've recovered from that. If they come back strong and play like they did, it could be a real good game.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I suppose Legion, of course, got a taste of winning the Donegal Cup recent enough times as well. And I suppose with Peter Kane, probably would like to get another one. Fossa, obviously, like I say, with the Cliffords and that week off, it'll be interesting to see how they come back. Kilmare, a team that are very quiet at the moment, and since, I suppose, their amalgamation with East Kerry, they haven't really taken off. Is there a chance they might take off against Spa?
Well, they're at home. They have the home advantage again, and they have the players and to do well. Like so, but like you said, they haven't really impressed the last 2 years in the O'Donoghue Cup. So it's a big game for them. That's Sunday mm-hmm. against the Spa team, who've had a tough match against Guineguilla, and who've of course lost the last two finals and looking for their first victory since 1989 as well. So that should be a good game as well. Two evenly matched teams, you would think.
Yeah, absolutely, and two senior club teams as well.
Club championship, county championship, yes. So they're well tested.
They're big names. Fiery's got themselves a nice little buy in. Kilcommon are coming to play them. Fiery's have improved an awful lot lately, but I would suggest they probably need to do an awful lot more maybe in the next game with the mighty Kilcommon coming to call.
Yes, you think Kilcommon would once again, they're at home, they've been playing a higher standard of football the last couple of years. Intermediate, Fiery's just below that. hard to call, hard match to call, really. But you think he'll come in at home, would have too much fires, like I said, have some good young players as well, like Jack Sherwood, of course, county championship winner for these Kerry the last couple of years. So, but they haven't played a match in a while, so it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they cope early. If Kilcumin, who've been match tested last week, come out fast, to be kind of hard to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Dr. Crokes have all their business done, and they're in the semi final already, waiting for the draw. When will that draw be, Michael?
It'll be after the Fossa Legion match on, or the Legion at home, Legion Fossa on Sunday, straight after that.
Okay, and that's a complete open draw. Anybody can meet each other, and
That'll be the following weekend, the Saturday and Sunday of the 17th, the following weekend, yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be down to the final then, of course,
the week before, sorry.
Yeah, the 9th and 10th.
Yeah. Yes.
God, I'm right. Yes. You had the whole of East Kerry up in the heap there for about 4 seconds anyway, Michael. So the 9th and 10th will be the semi-finals. That's Saturday and Sunday, of course, at the age, probably Fitzgerald Stadium maybe or whatever.
And you, what we're hoping for, yes.
Yeah, and you have your final then on the 17th. Michael,
yes.
Talk to us about winning the county championship with East Kerry. I mean, obviously an awful lot of hard work goes into getting the team prepared out on the sideline, the amount of support that you have, I suppose, on and off the field, and then to get the reward at the end of it, and it is a reward for the district as well.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of hard work going in, but there's so many people that have to do a lot of things right to get the results like they've had the last couple of years as a district. Another really exciting final that went down to the last few minutes. Mid Kerry really finished strong that day, a couple of more minutes and it could have been a different result. So you're thankful every year you win it, because it takes a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you were at the business end of the 20s and the minors and all that as well. So, yes. So there's a good production wheel swinging around.
Yes, the minors was a great final as well. We just about held on against a very strong North Kerry team. And the under 21s as well went down to, I think it went to extra time, didn't
mm-hmm.
it? It was just a bit too strong the last 10, 15 minutes extra time. They pushed on. But it's been a great year. All the East Kerry teams that have come out have performed really well. Two county championship wins and a very close loss in another one. So, yes, very, very impressive.
Yeah, and of course, you have a nice rivalry being built up now with North Kerry in the under 28 groups, swinging over and back. So, I certainly think that's going to be something to watch going forward. Obviously, you have is it the Father Galvin Cup as well? A big win for Cordell, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, to the damn exciting match. Two neighbours playing each other, Cordell and Scarta Glen. Went down to the last few minutes, all kinds of excitement, black cards and penalties, and a great free in the end by Cordell goalkeeper Sean O'Dokir Devon from long range, won him the game right in the last second. So a very exciting match for anyone who was there that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Oak still flying them over the bar. Speak to me maybe about the importance of that competition for, I suppose the more junior clubs in that circle. I mean, obviously, everybody would want to win the Donegal Cup, but how important is it for a club like Cordell or even Scarta Glen to get a bit of silverware at the end of a very hard year?
Oh, yes, you could see after from the emotions of both teams on the field that it was very, very important. Both teams really went hard at it. Even the semi-final, I think Cordell beat Lestrade, that went down to the last few minutes as well. So it's taken very seriously by those teams, and it's huge to get a big victory at the end of the year like that for Cordell. All the players I talked to after, they were all very very overjoyed with getting a win like that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose no district championship would survive, or any district championship survive, without refs and linesmen and the whole lot. Now, I see, to be fair, every time you have the picture up on these Kerry pages, you have linesmen and umpires and jackets and the whole lot. How important is it that you're blessed with decent referees and great officials?
It's vital, because otherwise you can't play any match. They're crucial. The hard work put in, the effort they put in, they do a brilliant job, and like I said, without them the matches can't be played. So full credit to all of them, linesmen, umpires and the referees, of course, who have to manage 30 players and so many more around the sideline. It's brilliant that they're able to do it to such a high standard.
You're very quite filled over in East Kerry. I'm sure you can manage the sidelines fairly easily.
You can get rowdy at times, but
absolutely.
They do it, like I said, they do a brilliant job.
And they were very important. Come here, I suppose, finally, look, you obviously have a nice load of clubs inside there, but every club is kind of progressing at their own rate as well. All the clubs are kind of competitive at the latter ends of their intermediates and junior championships and the whole lot. And it's great to see the amount of facilities going in as well. A lot of clubs doing a lot of great work.
Oh yes, there's a brilliant work done. All the teams in East Kerry. Like I've seen a lot of the finals at underage level this year as well at under 15s, minors. And there's been some brilliant football played, and a lot of them, went down to the last couple of minutes as well. So they're both great football, but evenly matched teams as well. You can't ask for any more really than that. And like I said, that's down to all the efforts of all the mentors and the families and supporters of all these clubs. It's brilliant, brilliant what they'll be doing.
Have you got your ticket for the Oscars?
I do actually. My sister got it for me, so I'm happy enough. And my aunt did actually. My aunt was involved as well, so I'm delighted with him.
Oh my God, fair play. Well, we're around 7:20 this evening. We have Glenn Fleskin Kilcommon joining up there together to chat about the Oscars as well. Listen, Michael, it was great to chat to you this evening. We might do it in a couple of weeks again when we get down to final. And we'll see. I won't ask you to call it because obviously whatever team you'll pick, you'll probably have a target on your back.
And they'll be under pressure then, so I'll Yeah.
You can leave that to Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. That's their big job.
I'll let them make them decisions. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Listen, Michael, thanks very much, and thanks for all the great work throughout the year as well there in East Kerry, doing a great job, as indeed is your assistant PRO as well, Michael, who helps out from time to time with results and the whole lot. It's fantastic work. That, of course, is Michael Healy, the PRO there of East Kerry. Now, after the break, we are changing the pace of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to move the GA to one side, and we're going to talk about adventure racing, and all I can really tell you is it's pretty grueling to look at, and we'll have some I suppose participants who've gone through it, and they'll talk a little bit more and that after the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, Expedition Africa Adventure Race. It's a grueling and exhilarating multi-day endurance event that challenges teams of four to navigate through rugged African terrain using a variety of outdoor disciplines such as trekking, mountain biking, kayaking and many more. And after all that, I'm wrecked. But thank God I have two people that actually managed to go through the whole course, and that's Elise Dean, who joins me in studio, and Noel Lear is on the line. Delighted to have Elise with me even at the very end. When I heard that we had a team from Dingle heading over to Africa for the African Adventure Race Expedition, it sounded absolutely off the charts, mad altogether. Do you get that an awful lot when your friends say, what did you do for the weekend or what did you do for the last 10 days? You'll say, I was in Africa.
I get a bit of it all right, but you have to be a little bit crazy to do it, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Explain to the listeners at home what that race entails, because you were telling me off air the length of the race, 9 days, which sounds like an awful long time to be racing, but the nuts and bolts of the race.
It is 9 days, which sounds like a long time, but the race is actually broken up into, as you said yourself, there'll be a kayaking leg, biking leg, hiking leg, so it is broken up, and you will get a few sleeps here and there in transition areas. So you have to kind of look at it as different sports rather than full 9 days out and about. But
absolutely, it's step by step, different stage every day. Come here, you're out the road in camp. I mean, obviously that environment that you're surrounding yourself, you've got that big mountain that you can run up and down. Does that kind of influence you a little bit on how you fell into this sport?
Oh, it does, definitely. We have Carrickonry at the back door of the beach and through the Dingle Peninsula. It's an outdoor playground.
Absolutely. How did you fall into it? How did you wake up one day and say, I'll give that a try? Or were you always into kind of triathlons and bits and pieces like that?
I was always into running and football and a bit of rowing. And then I met Noel O'Leary. I started kayaking with Noel in Irish Adventures. And it was actually him that got me into it, really. I won a free entry to Ross na Riachta.
Absolutely. It's all Noel's fault. Noel, it's all your fault. You're after polluting a girl who used to play ladies football or something, and now she's an adventure racer. Will you tell the listeners maybe the trip to Africa and what it entailed and what it was like when you got there, and maybe even the race itself, Noel?
How you doing? So I suppose the hardest thing for us is getting to the race, you know. There's four competitors in the team coming from different parts. In this case, we had two from Kerry there, now one from Cork and Kilkenny. And it was just meeting up and between getting our mountain bikes, our kayaking gear, all the rest of the gear we needed for the race, over to South Africa, book the flights, get down there uninjured, and get to the start line, you know, to start this event.
Yeah, it sounds like an adventure already, Noel, to get to the starting line, when you say put your bikes and the whole lot and gather the crew and hit the South Africa. When you get to South Africa, I mean, obviously there might be a bit of downtime for a day or two or maybe whatever beforehand, but when the race starts, how in earnest does it start?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem, you get out there usually a couple of days before the race, but it's usually a bit hectic, you know, for the first 2 days, because when you get there, you're going shopping, food shopping, and you're looking to get race food for 9 days because it's too heavy to transport by the flight and your baggage allowance all the way out, because you're already carrying a bike in the allowance. So you're literally trying to pack everything into these neat little boxes. And during the race, then you actually have access to these little supply boxes and your mountain bike box where you can pack a bit of food into, and you're limited on the weight in there, so you have to have everything down to the last grams and no cans of Coke or no extra things in there, otherwise you get pulled in it.
Wow. And when you're talking about food, I mean, obviously when I'm talking about the stuff that I'm going to get on a Friday night, what are the main kind of things, the stable diet of that 9 days that you need to pull yourself through?
I suppose everybody's different. I live on sugar nearly for 9 days, and I'm looking, you know, when I go shopping in Tesco's or whatever shop I am, people are looking at me thinking I'm having a kids party on the weekend. It's just full of sugar and Mars bars, chocolate bars and things. Ailish has a little bit more of a better diet than me, but then, you know, you'd have a few dried meals that you might have during the race that, you know, they only weigh 100 grams and they're just a small pack that you're throwing a bit of water and it gives you the same calories as a dinner, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
the sustenance Ailish, I mean, obviously something for 9 days. I mean, any fella that's even working for 9 days, he wants to eat the whole lot. But you're eating on the fly in many aspects.
Yeah, eating on the fly. The most important thing really is to bring food that you actually like.
Okay.
So that you'll actually want to eat it. So I, like Noel said, he brings a lot of sugar. I'll bring a lot of nuts and protein bars and trek bars and the rest of it. You just want to make sure that you're actually liking what you're eating, that you keep eating.
Mm-hmm. What's the first part of we'll say the first leg of this journey in South Africa? I mean, you get to the starting line, what, whistle blown, bell rang, and off you go?
The whistle blows, off you go. For me personally, it's about a day into the race before I really settle into it.
Okay.
At the very start, there's a lot of teams, you're all together, you have the hub up, and it's everyone's flying out at different paces, usually quite fast, whereas after about a day people have settled in, the teams are well spread out, you're kind of on your own, and that's when I really start enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Noel, do you set your own pace? Ailish said there, you know, everybody kind of flies away. Are you chasing the gang from Croatia or Austria or whatever country they're from? Or do you set your own pace on your own time and check that?
You play your own game, really. And like, otherwise, especially on that first day, I mean, we were bussed out at 4 o'clock in the morning and we didn't start the race till 11. So like, you're already up and losing the first night's sleep in that, and then you're at the start line at 11 o'clock the next day and the heat was 35 degrees, and if you decide to go running hard in 35-40 degrees, it won't be long before the white Irish people are sweating too much and getting burned, you know. So
especially on your sugar.
And we turned into vampires for this race. We literally had to sleep during the hottest part of the day and go all night because it was lovely and cool.
Wow. And when you're talking about sleeping, I mean, obviously not sleeping like the Irish people at home under the sun. I mean, I presume, what, a couple of hours?
Well, it depends where you get. I mean, there was, you know, the first few nights, normally in these races, like we do, we'd skip the first night's sleep and go through that, which we did. And then on the second night, you're looking for a bit of shelter where you'd actually just pull out your sleeping bag out of the bag and get a hot meal into you and maybe have 3 hours kept type of thing. So on the second night, I think we were, you know, the weather turned bad and we were lucky enough to get some sort of shed. Actually, on the second night, no, we were into a mountain bike transition on this one, and you could rent a room behind the hall, which we rented for 2 hours, and we had 2 hours sleep before we went out in the next trekking leg.
My God.
We actually had a room where no one was coming in and out, so we just locked the door and just had 2 hours sleep and out again on the trekking with the food for the next
day and a half for the next stage.
Yeah. What's the hardest part of it, Eilish? I mean, obviously day one you're doing, day two you might be chasing. Is there a day where you hit a wall and say, God, what am I doing?
I wouldn't say you'd hit a wall exactly. I mean, to every race you're going to have highs and lows, and there's going to be every race where you're tired or you're sore or you're whatever, but it never lasts. There's four in a team, you're chatting away, there's times you just put the head down and you might have to tough it out, but
what were some of the lows for you? What were, we'll say, not really lows, but I mean, they must have been tougher days than others.
I did pick up a little bit of a stomach bug, all right, and it was tough enough to kind of struggle through then. But like I said, they never last. Yeah. You'll get a beautiful sunrise, or you'll stand on top of the mountain, and once you look out, you kind of realise this is why you do it.
Yeah, Noel. I mean, for yourself, did you have a low? A couple of lows? Any low?
Oh, plenty of them. Yeah, as usual in all races. I mean, you'll have it's a roller coaster, these events, you know, you do them enduring them, you'll say to yourself, you know, why am I doing this? I could have easier holidays out in the Canaries or something, instead of biking through the night or biking for 2 days and thinking I need to get out. But then you get to places where other people never get to, you know, and you're doing activities that you enjoy doing, even though you're pushing yourself to the limit, but at the same time you're pushing yourself to the limit, enjoying the sport you're doing, usually in good company with the team that you're doing, and they'll pull you along during the lows, you know. And it's about looking after the four of each other, you know, to the finish line. And that's where it gets tougher later. I mean, 6-7 days in, you're managing the feet and you're, you know, managing the body, just making sure you're getting food and water into you. Because, like, some of the teams that go out hard at the first day or two, they're blistered up on their feet after, you know, going running hard and having blisters. And those blisters 6 or 7 days later, they're not good, you know, for the end of the race. There is medics to patch them up in different transitions, but there's only so much medics and drugs will do to you.
Absolutely. You'll get it. Come here, one of the things that I noticed in the pack there, Eilish, was beware of wild animals. I mean, obviously it was Africa. Did you come across anything to be frightened of?
Not really, no. You could see there was one or two snakes, but yeah, turtle was, there was a few turtles, but nothing to be frightened of. You'd see baboons, a few monkeys. But no, there was nothing that we had to be... nothing we were running from.
Absolutely.
Well, we just had to make sure you could run faster than Noel.
Was Noel holding up the team, was he?
He was not.
Come here, Noel. I mean, obviously in we'll say adventure racing like this, obviously it's a competitive part. You must get from A to B as fast as you can. But I presume the teamwork must be exceptional between it. And obviously I'd imagine there's probably days where you need a lot of mental kind of strength to drag you through different parts of the day. And maybe, dare I say, maybe some days are even boring because they're long days. How'd you get through that, Noel?
Yeah, like personalities and teamwork, you know, a lot has to do with that. You can't just pick the four best, strongest people that you want to, you know, put in a team and put them together, because they might be, you know, it might not exactly gel and work. You need people to, you know, help each other along, to get on with each other, and like through the night when your eyes want to close but you want to keep biking along, start singing songs. And the thing that we do quite often when we're abroad is, you know, just start speaking Irish to brush up our Irish, and you know, if there's other teams around us, we'll just start talking in Irish, even though it's a bit like the old Cork and Millish had, as I say. Unfortunately for me, back west, I should have more than I have, but that's about the best time I get to brush up a little bit of my Irish.
I suppose Eilish is probably saying Brusty Gort a lot, I suppose, when you're passing other teams maybe in Irish. What's it like when you're passing teams, or dare I say teams passing you and all?
Well, as Eilish said, the first day or two is the hardest. You know, you have a lot of teams and they're getting into position, but come day four and day five, you're actually starting to get on with a lot of the teams that are around you. And there was 130 teams, I think, started this event. And, you know, day five and day six, we're only seeing the same 4 to 6 teams for, you know, the whole 24-hour period. We might go 20 hours and not see a team for that whole 20 hours, and then all of a sudden you bump into someone.
Wow.
So, like, we did cover 1,000 kilometres overall by the end of it, between on the Strava there. There was, you know, a good Irish contingent out there. There was actually 19 Irish people out there. There was 4 Irish teams in total. And then there was 3 other Irish people that jumped on other international teams out there. So there's always good, you know, competition between the Irish teams. Like, it's, you know, the guys who are winning it and coming in the top 5, a lot of them are usually either semi-professional or professional within
their own sport in the past, like running or mountain biking or kayaking and different things.
They're going on to...
They just, hit a bit like give up the GA after 35 and pick a new sport, and it's a team sport. So it's a lot of people really, when they hit their 30s, tend to take up this. And, you know, in Kerry alone, we have, as we say, you know, Dingle Adventure Race or the Quest Adventure Race, which a lot of people get into through that, which is a marked course, and you just go out kayaking, running and cycling. And I mean, it might only be anything from 2 to 6 hours, but it's a start. So if people are interested, you know, those type of races. And then in Ireland there's other 4 to 8 hour races where you can do two person team events.
My God, so there's plenty of opportunities to get into it.
Yeah, but normally the ones we have, you know, are well marked, you know, like a triathlon course, there's arrows in the mountains, and you know where you're going on the shorter multi-sport races. But the longer adventure races, you need your map and compass and pay attention all the time, or else you'll be doing extra miles.
Right. Of course, there is that danger, of course, Eilish. If you do go off course, you are doing extra miles.
There is, but sure, they're always enjoyable too. you just get to see a little bit more.
The road less travelled is always a bit better sometimes.
You have to adapt.
Absolutely. Come here, listen, Noel, thanks very much for this evening. Eilish as well, the very best look. Where are you out again? Are you heading off somewhere?
Possibly Croatia maybe next year. We've no real plans in the work. We've our two big races done this year, so a bit of downtime now, and then we'll take a look at what races are on next year.
So Noel is out shopping for sugar and you're buying nuts.
That's about it, nuts and porridge.
Absolutely. Come here, when is the Dingle Adventure Race, Noel? What?
Next year, it's on the weekend of the 8th of June. It's the weekend always after the June bank holiday. Registration's open there if anyone's interested in signing up. We usually get anything up to about 1,000 people doing it in the day, you know.
Wow.
And there's 3 different courses. There's like a mini and introduction one, which is very easy for people. Then there's a sport one going up Mount Eagle and back around Slayhead, and then the full Mount Brandon running one with a longer cycle around Slayhead back west, and a kayak at the end.
Fair play to you. I'm wrecked already listening to it, never mind. I was probably hardly driving. Listen, Eilish, Noel,
to take Parkins up. Yeah,
absolutely. Come here, Noel, thanks very much for this evening. Eilish as well, thanks very much. And we might catch up with you again maybe ahead of the Dingle Adventure Race, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more on a local scale as well, maybe in a couple of months time when it's on and the whole lot, and we'll give you a bit of help on that one. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, would you join forces with another club to help raise funds to sustain your own one? Well, it's that time of year again when the football boots are being slowly put away within GAA clubs, and AGMs, I suppose, are beginning to pop up all around it. And one of the main topics in most AGMs, believe it or not, is finance. It's hardly football at all. And now my next guests are members of the Glenfisk and GAA clubs, and they've come together with a rather novel idea to transform the stars from the field to the silver screen as they host their second outing on their Oscar night, which they held a number of years ago as well. And it's a massive undertaking, and we said we'd welcome a few of them in. And it's a big Terrace Talk welcome to Niamh Dwyer from Kilcommon, Emma Donoghue, Glenfest Secretary, and Aileen Moriarty, who I think is Secretary of everything up that direction. Are you your boss in charge and the whole lot? And it's great to have you on board, and welcome this evening. Niamh, the importance, first of all, of finance to a GAA club. Obviously, it's important for every GAA club. So even though you're specifically talking about your own one, it's literally money matters.
It is, really. I suppose we're in the lucky position in both clubs. I suppose I'm speaking for Kilcommon, but both clubs, that our numbers are growing, which is fantastic. We've lots of new people joining. And if you look at, you know, the membership of any club, you're starting at the very small little ones coming in the academies at under 5 and under 6 and working the whole way up to your senior team. You know, there's an awful lot of, I suppose, effort goes in and volunteering, but there's a lot of costs attached to running all of those teams, competitions, kitting them out, you know, and all of that. The other side of it is there are other facilities attached to clubs now as well to look at those that aren't playing. So, you know, we do have, you know, a lot of health and well-being initiatives happening in clubs. We have very strong representations. I know Glenfisk and Kilcommon would be good on the score front. So we, you know, every aspect of the club really is growing and developing, and there is a cost attached to that, both in terms of, like I said, the running costs of the club, but also then the capital, I suppose, the investment in facilities. we've had a lot of development in the last couple of years in Kilcommon. Huge fundraising done by our finance committee. It's just incredible. I know we're people are looking at our facilities and saying, God, you're very lucky, but a lot of hard work went into that. So now it's our job, I suppose, to keep that going, to maintain what's there, and to just ensure that we're building for the future, really. You know, we want to make sure that we have a good setup, that people want to be part of the club, and that they're getting, you know, a great experience by being part of it. So there are big costs, and like everybody else, but cost of living, the energy cost is a huge factor now for clubs. You know, we had our AGM recently, and it just, you know, it would astound you at the amount of money that costs. So all of that really is why we've decided to join up and run this event as a fundraiser this year to keep things rolling anyway for another little while.
God, I thought you were going to say that we had our AGM there and we lift the lights off or something because the energy costs are so much. Come here, Glenflesk is similar, obviously. It's a club, you know, obviously you have to pay it, and you kind of go, Emma, from kind of maybe the lotto and the whole lot, and that helps sustain it, but every now and again you need one big huge event to run and raise a substantial enough amount of money. This is the Oscars.
Yeah, absolutely. Delighted to be part with Kilcommon again. You know, we did it 5 years ago now, I think, and it was a huge success. And, you know, it is money that every club needs. You're always trying to come up with new ideas, you know, and stuff, but it's much needed funds for the club. Mm-hmm. For the running, day-to-day running of the club is gone. You know, it's like everything. Yeah. Everything is going up.
So. And it's amazing, you just say everything goes up 20% and then all of a sudden that literally means you, instead of a couple of hundred, you have to find a couple of thousand or maybe even 10,000 if you're a bigger club with all the energy costs. Aileen, the event itself, I mean, it's a very novel idea. You don't have to be a GAA player to get involved in it. It kind of impacts the community and brings the communities together as well. And 2018, it was absolutely fantastic. It'll be the same again. But a lot of work goes into organising that.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like you said, Donal, it was such a huge success in 2018, and when the idea came up again, it was always, I suppose, the intention of the committee that we would run it again. So 5 years on, we said we'd give it a go, and I suppose you're a bit maybe apprehensive of what the take-up is going to be the second time round, but we were just astonished at the take-up, and I think we've 103 actors from two clubs and actually some from outside the club as well. I think people saw it, that it was such a success the last time. It was such entertainment value on the night in the INEC when it was a sellout event, and we're hoping and we know that it will be a sellout event on this time as well. So it's 8 films, and it's it was produced by Kevin Rowe, and we had 4 nights in the Killarney Heights in Killarney, and we're very grateful to them for giving us the facilities, 4 rehearsal nights for a half an hour where people came together and were trained in the various films. And I mean, there's 2 trailers being released already, and just you can be guaranteed of the fun element in the night and the entertainment it's going to bring. And like I say, not just Kilcommon and Glenflesk, for people that moved into both clubs have just come on board and said that they, you know, would like to get involved. It's a great way to get involved and to get to know people. And even in our own club, I know people came on board as extras, and I'm sure in Glenflesk as well, that were new into Kilcommon area and just said, look, I'd like to do something and to get involved. And it's a wonderful way of getting to know people.
Mm-hmm. And we'll find out a little bit more after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're joined by Kilcommon and Glenflesk GAA, Niamh Dwyer, of course, Emma Donoghue and Aileen Moriarty, and we're talking about the Oscars. And of course, it's a novel fundraising idea, to be fair about it. Niamh, to the people who don't know about it, basically it's gathering a crew together, developing a film, putting it on silver screen and having the whole village and parish and neighbours and everybody in to watch it.
Absolutely, yeah. So like Aileen said, we've 102 actors who went through being cast in 8 different films, and then rehearsals took place, and then obviously we had the filming. Now the crack on the filming scenes, like both Aileen and Emma were directors, so they were really behind, you know, working, getting everything organised for their films. I took part in a film myself, and we just have had, there's just been the best crack, I suppose, in people. I suppose, do you know what's unique about this compared to other fundraisers is that people on the night can relax. All of the hard work is done, the recording, like it's top class. The videography, the camera work, the sound is just, it's very professional. So it will look amazing on the screen and people can relax. It's not like the others where they're under pressure maybe on the night to perform. So from that point of view, it's lovely. And I suppose the dynamic between the two clubs from the beginning has always been great. So we'll be watching the 8 films. They're about 8 to 10 minutes each. The cast will all, you know, go up on stage and they'll be interviewing a couple of them. And then, of course, the 8 Oscars will be handed out at the end of the night for best film, the actors, actresses, etc. So I suppose the exciting one really is the best film, because that's voted on the night by the audience. So it's just going to be great fun. You know, we will have judges lined up. They'll be revealed shortly. It's just a fantastic night's entertainment, really, from start to finish, and good old crack. And like, we have, I suppose, a bit of banter going on at the moment because we have two parish priests taking part. So we've Father Jim Linehan and Father Joe Begley have come on board. So they're taking part this year. So there's a good bit of crack going on about, you know, which one of the priests is going to be successful or whatever.
A supporting priest award.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe we could pull that in now at this stage. So it's been fantastic. About half of the people that took part in 2018 are back in again, and then the rest are new. So it's just been a great dynamic, really.
And that's a good dynamic, because it's nice to know that the people that enjoyed it last time came back again. And it's great to bring another gang on board who will get to get the whole situation.
Yeah, and they actually, the actors worked very hard on fundraisers themselves, because obviously, you know, they had to fundraise to take part. And the ideas, the novel ideas, I mean, there were just some fantastic ideas done by, and everybody was trying to support each other in that. So look, that has been building, which means then that the next night, the 7th of December, will just be magic.
Emma, is it easier fundraise or direct?
Direct, definitely. Within reason, yeah. But no, really looking forward to it now. We've about 10 days to go. As the girl said earlier, we've 2 trailers released, so we've another 6 to go. So it's really exciting.
And what's the feedback to that? The trailer goes up, obviously people are on Facebook and Twitter and the whole lot watching it and the whole lot, and you go back into your, I suppose, work venue the next day and people are talking about it. It's a great way to kind of encourage people along as well, that you're drip feeding the public, and it's a tail end of what you can see on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the trailers are about maybe 1 minute long, so they're not giving away too much, but you know, you're really seeing, so you know, you've another 8 to 9 minutes that you're going to see on the night, and no one will have seen them. We'll all see them on the night. So yeah, really exciting.
And in the films, for people that are listening, like you're recreating the epic scenes out
absolutely,
of those films, and maybe telling that story, and you're giving people individually a chance to maybe shine as well, that mightn't thought they were all stars. You have a couple of big football names in there too, have you?
We do, yeah. We have Seamus Moynihan is actually after taking part in one of the films, yeah, so I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to seeing him.
Not take
in
direction well,
gear.
Did you?
He wasn't in my film now, but you'll have to wait and see it, yeah.
Good stuff. Aileen, there's 8 films. I presume when you do an event like this, there's the kind of serious films and there's the funny films and there's the really funny films and the whole lot. I presume there's a mix of films.
Yeah, there's a mix of films there. We, like you said, we've got the serious ones, we've got the comedy. We have, I suppose, one to mention is Veronica Guerin, which is set in a real life event, and I suppose Downfall as well is probably set on real life events. So that really would grab the attention of the audience on the night, and it's just the way that the actors have just bought into it. I mean, you know, taking on accents, taking on extra rehearsals outside of the 4 nights that they've done, they really have bought into it and just wanted to give it their all. And I suppose, you know, like the GA is not all about being on the football field or not all about the stage of score, that now you've got another dynamic to it, which is great. Yeah. And it just gives the people the opportunity that might just be on the, you know, behind the scenes, you know, even if it's a one-liner, that they get to shine on the night.
Yeah, and sometimes the one-liners are the ones that's remembered.
Absolutely.
Remember Johnny Doolan's Ven going around the place for the snapper.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, that was the highlight for me. And of course, I suppose looking back, it's 5 years ago, and I suppose it's sad sometimes too. You do look back, Aileen, and you say, God, this guy has gone and mentioned Rage Night, of course, and Dan Favier and the whole lot. And it's nice to look back, but it's nice that they're still remembered in that way, because they're still part of the community that was there 5 years ago, and those people will probably remember that from 5 years ago, and that's nice to bring up as well.
Yeah, and they'll remember that, and we, that was on DVD as well, so people have that as a keepsake. And like you mentioned, Dermot Moynihan from Kilcommon and the late Dan Favier from Glenflesk as well, who featured in the films. And actually the Favier family are featuring heavily in the films this time round. And you know, just speaking to them individually, they said it was a great distraction for them, you know, just a tough year that they had, mm-hmm. and that they were able to, you know, be involved in something that their late father had been involved in 5 years ago and had got such great enjoyment out of.
Yeah. Niamh, when we talk about actors, of course, people are talking about actors, but we're just talking about ordinary club members, really. I mean, that aren't actors in a sense,
yeah.
And they kind of just throw themselves into it. I presume there's a huge learning curve there for some people, is there?
Oh, it is huge, and I suppose there's a lot of excitement when they get to film. So obviously there's lines to be learned, but like Aileen was saying, they're like, for the majority of people, you know, bar maybe one or two in each film, it's only a couple of lines. So it's not a lot. I mean, I had only three lines to learn. I'll tell you, I struggled with that. So it's very much bite-sized pieces, really. So accessible to everybody. But actually what's magic is on the actual set, you know, for people that were new to it this time, they just couldn't get over the camera, the lights, the sound, and also, of course, how long it takes to produce 8 minutes of high-quality film. You know, there were long, long days now for the crew and for all of the actors and everything. So yeah, it's and you know what? People shine, like Aileen said there, you'll have people that you go, oh my God, I never saw that side of that person, you know, so it's just lovely. And I think it's very special for people to see themselves and their families up on the big screen in the INEC, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we want many more people going as well. I presume you're not letting me in for free. We have to get a ticket somewhere.
Unfortunately not, no. So just to mention, we're very grateful for our sponsors of KWD. So they actually sponsored our event 5 years ago, and they are very grateful to come on board for a second time with no hesitation, which is great. So tickets are on sale online via Club Force. They're £32.50. We're also doing two nights, one night in each club this week. So on this Wednesday night, they'll be in Glenflesk at 9 p.m. and we're going to do in Kilcommon at 7:30 p.m. You can get the link also on our Facebook page and our Instagram page at the Oscars by Glenflesk Kilcommon GA.
Are the Hogan tickets going to the Glenfest crowd now?
Carper box tickets for you anyway, Donal, yeah.
The Glenfest crowd can have Hill 16 tickets. Aileen, I mean, it's a fantastic event. Why should I not miss it?
Just for the entertainment value on the night, Donal, and you see these, you know, we'll say ordinary club people, you know, just coming on board and seeing them in a different light and seeing what they bring and the characters that they create. And they're like, we just have to remember that they're doing it for their clubs. They had to fundraise, as Niamh said already themselves, fundraise an amount of money, you know, to bring into this fundraiser. And we just can't underestimate, like everything in the GAA, the volunteering efforts of those people and the commitment they gave to it. So it's time to give something back to those people now and let everybody else from the club come and enjoy, from the both clubs to come and enjoy a spectacular night in the INEC. And if you're lucky enough like me, you'll be off school on the next day on the 8th of December. So it was well planned.
Planned by teachers, I'd say, was it? Good teachers. Niamh, I mean, look, it's a huge event. It's hugely important, obviously, for the community of Kilcommon and Glenflesk. And I suppose at the other side of it too, it's an unusual enough one. It's not all about taking a few bob off people. You're giving them a night's entertainment. It's a great show. Years ago, people went to the tops of the towns and these things in the 80s. It's similar enough to that in you know, the talent is out there and you're showcasing it.
It is, yeah. And it's a bringing, I suppose what's unique is that it's the two clubs coming together. So you have a different dynamic, you know, and that has definitely worked very well. It worked very well the last time around, which is why we were eager to kind of bring it together again. Just to mention as well that a lot of people from away were anxious to kind of be able to help out as well. So we are also running a Christmas giveaway, a kind of a raffle, that they're just fantastic prizes. Because girls were just saying there, you know, about the sponsorship, like the generosity of companies and organisations and helping us out is unbelievable. So those tickets are available. We have had a lot of interest from people abroad, so they're available also on our social media, but we have tickets, we're selling tickets locally. People have just been fantastic, so we're going for gold now to see that we can have a wonderful night and raise as much as we possibly can for the two clubs.
Well, the question, Niamh, would you prefer to have the Dunhill Cup now or the Oscars?
Oh, God, that's a tough one.
Don't answer.
Can
it.
I plead the fifth on that?
Absolutely. Listen, it's great to have you on board this evening. Of course, Glenflesk have no Dunhill Cup this year.
Pardon?
You've no Dunhill Cup coming this year.
No, I thought it'd be Kilcommon and Glenfleston in the semi-final that weekend, but we missed that opportunity unfortunately. But next year.
There's always next year, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, Aileen Moriarty, Emma Dunhill and Niamh Dwyer, thanks for joining us this evening and the very best of luck with your Oscars.
Thanks.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, earlier on this evening, of course, we were talking to all down there in St. Mary's Land, and a couple of comments, of course, congratulations to St. Mary's, well-deserved to Noel, John, Jordy and the team, and another one for Sheila Quigley and her daughter, Ciara, a credit to St. Mary's management team. They do huge work as well. And of course, what we were doing, I suppose, was we were kind of spreading the love of football around to the districts. We spoke to East Kerry, North Kerry next week, of course, as well. And there's loads of different stories, I suppose, coming out at various district championships. And I suppose one of the stories that people have seen, I suppose, all over the place, and it's covered, of course, is my next guest winning his 14th district championship medal. And delighted to have Brian Sheen on the line. Brian, does it feel like a 14th district championship medal?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's something that you'll, when you retire, you'll probably look at this and you'll say, you'll enjoy them, you know. But I don't really be counting, to be honest, Donald. It's just one of those things where just didn't take any action.
Yeah.
And you just get on with it and you're not worried about the numbers, to be honest.
Yeah. And of course, it's the win on the day is probably more important than whether it is number 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever it is. I was talking earlier, it was kind of unusual that, I suppose, when you have a career as long as Brian Sheen's, different teams kind of rival you at different stages. The Drummond rivalry has been quite an unusual one in the last number of years. Certainly something that we wouldn't have been talking about maybe in the 80s or 90s. How much of a rivalry has been built up by yourselves and Drummond over the last number of years?
It has, to be fair. I think, I'm not sure that this class, but I think it's the last number of soccer championships between ourselves and Drummond that have been winning them and probably contesting it as well, I think, except for the last year when Paul McGee, the Rangers, were in the final against it. So, it's just to be building, I suppose, two clubs that probably just had a nice of players coming at the same time. And, we're up in the divisions too. Well, I think Division 2 for a long time playing a good standard of football, and we were kind of floating between 2 and 1 as well for the last 2 years. So, you know, good personnel in with them. And I suppose, look, I suppose, I know that things change, teams. They don't say it takes too long. I suppose we're at the stage now where we're rebuilding as well, you know. And again, it just so happened Drummond and the Marys met in another round again, and it just kind of wonder why we didn't meet in the first round or a semi final. It just always seemed to be in a final, so it just seemed to work out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, I suppose I was talking to Noel earlier, of course, and I suppose it's amazing how teams kind of replenish going from young players to veteran players and a whole lot. You have three young lads winning their first medals. You're winning your 14th. Can you remember your first one?
Oh yeah, I do. It was 2001. It was my first year. I was only 15, I think. Brought in to play in goal. I think that we were short of goalkeeper. And it was actually funny enough to this Jordy O'Sullivan and Jordy Gowd at the start of the month was involved back then as well. And he just knew I was a kicking breeze at minor level or something, but I wasn't 16 off the ground. He said, look, we'll put this into goal, and it just took off from there. Won the soccer championship just a year, and you remember your first one, really, I suppose. It's a big one. You know, we had a fantastic team back in the noughties there. We did three in a row. We won the County League Division 1, won the intermediate as well. Back then, so they were really great years. And I suppose as a young fella, started 15 years of age, going into football and getting the taste for success and winning, massive, because you know, the amount of experience that I got from that. And you know, even looking back now to the fellas that played their first one yesterday, fellas, I just like to think they'll learn an awful lot from that, be involved in such a young age as well. That will stand them, and they might that bit of taste for success, and that might hopefully drive them on to want more.
Yeah, of course, a lot of people listening this evening will say Brian Sheen, I mean, Kerry player, so Kerry player, but talk to me about Brian Sheen, the St. Mary's player, because every player starts with their own club, whether it is St. Mary's in SD or St. Mary's in Carsevine, and the whole lot. Speak to me about the importance of that club and the part that club has played for you along your journey.
Well, look, I think everyone will have their own club and their own club as a boat. I suppose they're the ones that give you the opportunity. Don't know if I didn't have them, I would have had the opportunity to play with Kerry. And you know, it's your community. It's the people that are all around testing us. To see so many people there yesterday again, that who would have caught you coming up at different age levels, from under 12 right the way to senior. And the club, it's everything. So it's everything. And I thought we've been very, very lucky, club, to have the success we've had. But I think you say that this club went to Croke Park and won All-Ireland Junior, and went up to Croke Park again a couple of years later and won All-Ireland Intermediate. They're massive, massive occasions for the club. And you know, it's, look, I think everyone's own club. Everyone's their own club. They love their own club. And I'm no different, I suppose. I'm very lucky that I've had the success in my career, but again, an athlete is down to the coaches that I had coming up along, give me the opportunity to play. And again, I suppose, being lucky enough that we were successful, I think it was a big deal. We won minor championships, we won minor county leagues, and it put that kind of the county and playing against the bigger teams, playing against the Stacks and the Rathmores and the Crooks and these crowds. So you put you on a shop and progress your career. And look, I was lucky enough that I was able to take the success of the club, really, I think, is what kind of put me front and centre for that. And you know, the way it works out. So the club is, look, it's everything. They've been very good to me, and I suppose what I'm trying to do is just give back what I can. And you know, if it's, as a young fellow,
of course,
the experience I get from us.
Yeah, of course, another thing that puts you on the shop window, Brian, is the free taking. I suppose you must get sick of asking these questions at this stage. Maybe sometimes you wonder, should you have ever kicked a free kick at all for the amount of questions you get asked on it. But come here to me, you're in goal obviously at the moment, and you kind of come out at the end. Is that kind of a pre-rehearsed move now at this stage, seeing that the South Kerry Championship is over, or is it something that you kind of come out when there's a need to do it, or is it something that is in the mind that you want to kind of mind the engine for a small bit and kind of finish strong? Are all those things in Noel Cornan's locker, or are you going to remain secret on it?
There's not too much secret. No, look, to be fair, I think at the start of the year, you know, I just said to myself, at 38 years of age, I probably never going to have the trying it out to the field. And just, you know, I don't think that's to keep at that level and to play the way I want to be able to play. So it was always a case of just going to the goal. It was just something that kind of happened. And finally, we were just shot the goalkeeper. And but look, you played out football out the field, getting 3 feet and trying to make that gallop up. And I suppose and I kind of started a bit more fitter in training, and I was kind of coming up with a goal and a few frees here and there. But we just kind of knew it was an option available. So if the body was right on me, that if I could give maybe 15 minutes off the field. And to be fair, I don't think I did as many games. I think I just did it against Foss in the intermediate. And then the last day, I don't do 2 games. We actually swapped over. But it was something that was planned, to be fair. Like, it was something that we always knew was available, an option to us if we had to bring it out, you know. So it was one of those days where we decided that it was that we could afford to try and do. And you know, it's kind of, again, I suppose the training done over the last couple of number of months stood me. As I said, if I hadn't done the training, there's no way you could go out there and play outside in the soccer championship.
Sure, Phil, I'd like to give you a bit of a shoulder when you come out and have an old chat to you outside there as well, so you can come out with your jersey on. Come here, the free taking, just a quick word on it. I mean, obviously, look, I'm so Kerry, man, you've scored 20 frees against my club all through and knew you coming through it. Does it get easier or harder as you kind of stretch into 34, 35, 36, 37? I presume you get to a stage where the experience of being a kicker kind of helps you along as well.
That was probably one thing playing last year. I stepped aside last year, just didn't play, and it's the one thing I really, really missed was just actually, you know, getting a bag of balls and heading out to the field and kicking. I really did miss it, and I suppose that was one of the things that brought me back last year was that alone. But look, it's experience, and I suppose I'm just blessed that I haven't had any issues with the body when it comes to kicking from the view of groins or quad or glute or anything that weren't affected, stopped me from kicking. So I've been very lucky throughout my career that I haven't had any injuries from it. And I think that's the thing. I just think it's like muscle memory, you know, you just keep practicing, I suppose, what it was. And there was no different again over the last couple of months. You just put the work into it. I enjoy putting the work into it, and that's what I thought you do. And yeah, you just have to put the work into it. And lucky enough that if the occasion comes, the experience, I suppose, you miss a free, you know that you have experience of to put it in your own and go again. And so that does help, I suppose. 38 years of age, kicking frees for what I've been kicking, you just miss them, and we'll miss them, and you get on with it. And it's the learning curve, and I suppose it's different from a young fella. You just have to pick up on the bike again and go at it again. And you know, that's the way I probably operate down through the years, is you miss them, but most important thing is probably go again, get the next one, and make sure you get the next one. And it's just practice, I suppose. It's one thing, I can say one, is the amount of effort that I put into kicking. I enjoy it, and I set myself my own goals, I suppose, and standards when it comes to taking. And it's the practice, really, I suppose, that's all I can say about it.
Fair play, Brian. Well, listen, you didn't miss too many, and the ones you missed weren't really important, I suppose, maybe, to be fair. Listen, Brian Sheen, thanks very much for taking a small bit of time off from babysitting, I heard, to join us here this evening. You have to go back and do the real work now. I didn't get the chance to ask the question that Noel Cronin wants to ask you, but sure, he can ask you next year himself whether you're staying or going. You can answer that in your own time. I'm sure John will have a word with you as well to point you in the right direction. Brian Sheen, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and congratulations once again to St. Mary's. Words I think I wouldn't have said too often before. And listen, full value for it, and continued success with your 14. And you never know, you might have a 15th one this time next year. And then, of course, is Brian Sheen with St. Mary's, of course, who joined us here this evening. One of the probably the best kickers of the game, has his 14th championship medal below in South Kerry. A small bit to go. There's a guy out in Killarden with maybe 17 or 18 ahead of him already. He might hang in there. Thanks very much for putting the show this evening together, Ivan Dare. On the desk we have Ivan, we have Keane out there as well. Listen, Mary's in as well. I forgot about Mary. Absolutely talks us just on after the break, so a quick switch around, and Mary will get her bag of tricks out, and you can listen to music for the rest of the evening, and we will do all this again next week.